least a few minutes through the fifth session. Verse number 8. Question I would like to ask at this point. Would you like to be a man of God? Lead on. Verse 8. These be the names of the mighty man whom David had. Let's go down the chapter, please. Verse 13. And three of the 30 chiefs went down, came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. Verse 15. David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Verse 17. O Lord, be it far from thee, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. Or verse 20, the man I'm interested in, Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, who had done many acts. Here's what he did. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. He slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. He went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Now just for sake of time, let's just read a reference in 1 Kings chapter 2. It will just suffice for our reading. We'll have to read and be familiar with this chapter. I'll just break in quickly. Verse 25, here is Solomon now on the throne, and his words to Benaniah, the same man. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. And that has to do with the death of Adonijah. Now down a little further. Verse 34. So Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him, and that him Joab, and slew him. And he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. Verse 35. Notice this verse. The king put Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, in the room, in his room, for the host. Then the closing section deals with Shimeiah. Let's just finish the chapter, verse 46. So the king commanded Benaniah, the son, which went out and fell upon him, that Shimei, that died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. That's all of this three. We appreciate the ministry this afternoon relative to the place of the name, relative to the family circle, the Christian family, the home. I would like to just finish in a few minutes on the individual of the assembly for God. We thank God today in this part of the world for every young man who has an exercise and a desire to be a man of God. I was just going over in my mind over 25 years ago in the old country when we began to preach, my older brother and myself, I remember my dad taking us aside one day and saying, "Now, son, you tell the ungodly and the sinner, life is short, and the Lord is coming, and you haven't long to get saved. But he says we tell saints, and I want to tell you now, that if the Lord be not come, and you observe, the pathway for the saint is a long one." And I remember his words to this good day. Now he says, "Son, behave yourself." Our dear brethren have been telling us again and again that we don't make men of God overnight, and we don't win the confidence of the people of God in a day or two. Would you like to be a man of God? Take a look at David, mighty man. It would seem that this man, Benaniah, was involved in this way. He didn't attain to the first three, but he was in the rank of the second three. And he did exploit for God. And his history is on record for your admonition and mine. All of it. We should be asking ourselves some of these basic things if we're going to make man and woman for God. Here's a simple thought. We pass on. I noticed recently that Benaniah had the privilege of living in the land of Israel through three kingdoms. He came to the fore in a day of rejection when Saul was on the throne and the nation was defenseless. Did you know the history? That's true. For the day arrived when he was with the sweet psalmist of Israel on the day of coronation, when he was anointed king over the tribes of Israel, three times anointed. And he had the privilege of ruling with David, the man of war, throughout his kingdom, and finally finishing in Solomon's reign. Your young brethren this afternoon, the cry and need of our city and of our area today is man that will stand through more than one kingdom. The Lord be not come. The older man used to tell us many are like Jonah's gourd. They come up overnight and the God is quick. We're going to make our mark for God in our little corner where our lot is cast. Let us look for a few minutes at this man, Benaniah. I was interested to notice the meaning of his name. The man means Hill of Jehovah. We ask ourselves today in God's name, are we being filled of Jehovah? We've been listening to ministry and your brethren telling us of the character of man of God. I believe in following the ministry that our brother Wilson has brought to our attention. It starts in the home. I thank God this afternoon publicly for godly parents who have cleared the pathway before us and give us an undamaged example. And gladly today, as they follow Christ, we follow them. But why did Benaniah was enabled to continue into the third kingdom? I would like to just say very quickly and briefly that he was a man who overcame the whole soul of every believer in picture here in our chapter of 2 Samuel 23. We had in the Bible class today already suggested what sins would come into a believer's life that we need the advocate. But I submit to you this afternoon that Benaniah is a man who overcame the flesh. True lion-like man of mold, told in the Bible, speaks of the self-indulgence of the flesh. Genesis 19, you know the story. He was the man that overcame the Egyptian, the king of the world, the pleasure-loving world. He was the man that did battle with the lion, the king of the devil himself. The internal foe, the flesh, the external foe, the world, the internal foe, the demon world around us. Get this. There's going to be a man and a woman for God in some little measure. We'll need to know what it is to overcome the threefold foe. Wonder he did exploit David.
And that was just touched on another simple thing or two, and be the most of it out. Time's almost through. Don't want to miss this one.
We are brethren, we say this in the fear of God and in the right context. We appreciate brethren and sisters who are prepared to labor and turn themselves out for God and for the Lord Jesus. But I would like to ask you, is there a Penaniah here in the auditorium this afternoon? I would like to show this an illustration. The position that he occupied, number one, he was a refresher of the heart of David. If I have read the scripture correctly, on that night Jesus quickly, it's likely one of the three that broke rank in the land of the Philistines that day and went to the well at Bethlehem and brought the water. He heard the longing from the very heart of the man that he loved, David. And the aspirations of his breast were stirred. And by his grace, he went out to the cost of life. He was a refresher of the heart, David. Dear brethren, before we will do exploits for God, before we will be successful in the great service for God, we must ever, first of all, be a refresher of the heart. We are so involved in busy activity, and it's a rat race, and get as much into it as you possibly can. Tell me, when the last time in your zeal and your energy and thirsting to get on with work for God have you been or the pressure of the heart of the Lord Jesus? We've been hearing from our brother about telling our spouses how we appreciate them and how we love them. Who? Have you ever looked into the eyes of the man that died on the middle tree by faith and said, Lord Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. We're so involved in the busy din of activity, we're not refreshing the heart of our heavenly David.
I didn't read the scripture. It happened over his life. But he matured and developed. He got assignment from David.
Now remember, the nation was defenseless at the time. There was never a smith in the land. And all the instruments of war, if somebody wanted to get something sharpened, they had to go to the land of the Philistines. Years take Saul on the throne, and God's man's in the cave, and he's living in a day of rejection. And as the assignments are given, he's happy to do them and glad to do them. But the history goes on to show us that one day, in recognition, the
for his exploits of David. The age of the chapter of David. Because he's over the different maybe foreign person race that had come at that time to the land and to the kingdom and over the Philistines and so on, he is responsible. Oh dear brethren, have I got the privilege of refreshing the heart of my heavenly Savior? I have got the privilege and responsibility of defending that lovely one.
They arrived in this way and became a counselor to the heavenly David, or for the heavenly David in the throne.
But can't you see the stages? If the man will be successful, if the man will be faithful, if the man will be the same through the journey and the years of service and activity for David. He was a man of war from his youth.
First of all, a defender. And a defender. Of David. And a counselor. Of David.
We have reached the day with his great stress on counseling. Your brethren, it has its own place. But the word of Paul to Timothy for the dispensation is preach the word till the last step is taken and our Lord Jesus Christ comes. There's something about heralding a message. In the very act of doing it, something is communicated that in counseling is not communicated. It has a place. But notice before he came to these places of responsibility, he had to go through the different stages. Oh, here's another thought. The day that he went down to get the water from the well, he was in fellowship with those two other mighty captains of the prison. And likely all in the cave knew were aware. And they moved into enemy territory. Guess what? They're in happy fellowship with David and with all the rest. And they were successful in mission.
Or time, they didn't read the word, but there were days of crisis in the nation.
Man that he had proved in his generation with, get this, man that had been on the battlefront with, Joab, for example, he didn't turn to the rebellion of Absalom. But he turned aside to the rebellion of Adonijah. And in the day of crisis, when David was on the throne, and finally Solomon, he remained true and loyal to the divine center and to the man that sat on the throne. Dear brethren, it's not over for any of us yet. Like the marathon, it's short. And as it develops, we drop out one by one in whatever age group you're in today. Dear brethren, it could be that we're in the day of crisis on the western shores of Canada and the States. Let me ask you today, my beloved brother in Christ, are you prepared to remain through the day of crisis in God's assembly? I know that there's other things about David that he hadn't got a moral fitness to deal with these men. But
There's a man come forward. God's man. At God's side. And Hananiah came forward. And I see him with the word of God and the command of the king. He's now into the third kingdom. Forward. He's slain. Adonijah. You are. In the eye. That is the new three men that intend to deal with now. He's got the victory. What happened next? In recognition for faithful, loyal, support and service and turn it out for the man on the throne. Yep. And Judas and his sisters. Now get this. In the day of crisis, you were his company. You read the record in 1 Kings chapter 2 and you'll find out that in the day of crisis, he was with Nathan the prophet on the street. How's it all there? The man is known by the company that he keeps. And in the day of crisis, they stood shoulder to shoulder and God blessed them. And the book says, the kingdom was established. You're going to see our testimonies in Vancouver and Spain for God. We are brethren at 12 years this month since we were privileged come to these parts and have a little share in the service of God. And we can see a deterioration. And now we're one of you. We're local. We're involved. We're right here. God has brought us here. Dear brother, young man, frankly, are you prepared today to stand true and remain loyal to the man on the throne in the day of crisis? God's assembly. You are. The royal reward. The end of it. And the prophet. I just dramatize this day in Hananiah's life. When he comes forward to the temple, and here's a man, and he's got the hood of the horns of the altar, and two of himself. It is surveyed over the history in the battlefield in earlier years, when they stood shoulder to shoulder against the enemy. This man, this fellow warrior, turned sight. Used in the hand of God for a fellowship. I close on this note. We are better that we survey the situation. Must I be carried to the skies in flowery beds of ease, while others seek to make a place, fail in study things. I want to tell you in my short experience, we have seen in the day of crisis in the assembly, these from the Lord's sight, and even from the elder's sight. Oh, to the Lord, stir our hearts today. We bring the ministry together. We give thanks to God for our beloved brethren, who have given a variety to meet the need. May he indeed bless his work.